Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's do this final hour. Dirt and Spray here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your days are off to a good start. The weather's beautiful. It's probably already like 65 degrees out there. It's flip-flop season, baby. Welcome my toesies back to the studio.
You came in, and I'm like, oh, God,
this little piggy went to the market.
Brandon, are you a flip-flop guy? Are you open-toed sandal guy, or are you anti that?
I am a slides guy when I need to be. Otherwise, no.
That's the right answer, my man.
Shoes at all times. Yep. Won't see shoes out of me unless I'm on a golf course till October, everybody.
Even then, I feel like when your rounds blow up, you're shoeless by the end of the round.
Just give me another beer. I'll crack one. I'm 18 over on the third hole. Here we go. We got a lot to get to in this hour of radio. It is the last hour of our Monday, so a ton to digest and talk about from the weekend. And let's start there, Brandon Sprague.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, the NBA playoffs got underway. Officially, we had our play-in game on Friday. A very weird, the Suns blew out the Warriors. Game wasn't that competitive over basically at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah, the parlay was done by that point. I had the Magic right. I did not have the Warriors.
The Magic killed.
Game.
Dude, Konkan Ipples can't shoot. What are we doing, man?
Yeah.
He was terrible. They got killed. Anyways, both those games were pretty bad. I didn't watch a ton of them.
Yeah.
Saturday comes around. The actual playoffs begin. And it starts with, I would argue, did we watch much of Cavs and Raptors?
I watched the first half.
Okay.
And it wasn't the worst thing I'd seen, but I'm like, I know how this game's going to go. I ran some errands. I checked the score, and I went, yep.
They lost by 13. The Raptors did. They outscored the Cavs by 8 in the fourth quarter. So yeah. It tells you where the lead was going into the fourth.
The third quarter was the difference, 36-22.
Okay. Not a lot to get to there. Game number two, though, was a solid one.
This one was good.
I mean, Minnesota jumped out early on Denver. They were up by 10 at the end of the first quarter, and you thought, oh, all right, here we go. The T-Wolves have been a really good playoff team in the last 2 years. They've kind of come out of nowhere to get to the conference finals. Denver did a terrific job responding in the second. They put damn near 40 in the hoop in the second and then kind of held their own the rest of the way. Jokic, shockingly, guess what? He had a triple-double. Jamal Murray had one of the dumbest stat lines I've ever seen. Jamal Murray had 30 points. You know how many field goals he made?
Seven. No threes.
He was 0 of 8 from 3, yeah. 7 of 22 from the floor. He had 30 points because he was 16 of 16 from the free throw line.
He got the Denny Avdia.
Yes, he did. Gordon had a good game in Minnesota. Not an overwhelming night. Not terrible, but Ant wasn't the dominant force from start to finish. And Denver takes game one against the old T-Wolves. What do we take away from that one?
More of a complete effort, I think, from Minnesota, but Ant wasn't his usual dominant self. If you saw the game, the way it kind of ended, it was close. And then Denver pulls away, and Ant like starts dapping up his guys and say, we're all right.
Yeah.
This series is going to be great unless Minnesota's going to play worse and Denver's going to get more from others. But Randall gave you 16, McDaniel 16, Gobert gave you 17 and 10. You got 12 from DiVincenzo.
Got chippy too, McDaniel, the moment he shoved Jokic in the back.
Well, these two teams don't like each other.
Yeah, it's going to be feisty.
They have a history. And then the cat they traded for from Chicago gave you 14 off of the bench. So, you know, I ranked this, I think, second.
It was number two on your big board.
And I gave it to Atlanta, New York, and I might have to correct that here. I think this series is going to be the series because Denver has these stupid moments of basketball.
Very dumb.
And also, I've just been very unimpressed with Minnesota this year. But Ant Edwards, if he's going to shoot better than 7 of 19 from the field.
Imagine he'll have a pop-off game here at
Minnesota
some point.
In game two, man. I look forward to it. Their third quarter was just atrocious with 17 points.
It was rough. Entertaining game, though. One of the better ones of the weekend. And that leads to the series that was your favorite going in. And I will say, I didn't see much of the first half. I think I ended up turning it on and catching the second half of the game.
It was the peak weather of Saturday. I don't
like
know
right
how much
in the
anybody
middle of
watched.
The day. It's on Amazon Prime, so it's like, I don't want to do like, all right. But I turned it on in the back half of the day because we were home and cooking dinner and I was, you know, barbecuing and getting stuff ready. And so I watched the end of the game. We did have a little drama out of it. So Hawks and Knicks have had good battles over the years. Trae Young was a big part of that. He's now gone.
Mm-hmm.
But the aftermath of this game was C.J. McCollum kicking Jalen Brunson in the nuts.
And then calling him out for
calling him a little whiny bitch for complaining about getting kicked. He said he acted like he was on Broadway.
Yep.
They gave C.J. a tech. C.J. said after the game, I look forward to getting my money back because he thinks it's going to get rescinded. I watched the highlight probably 15 times to be like, what am I missing here?
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask a question. What am I missing here? He kicked him in the... It was inadvertent, but he kicked him in the nuts.
I think it'd be an argument of, like, inadvertent versus on purpose.
Is that the differentiator between a tech and the NBA? Or can you...
In terms of reviewing and rescinding, I think it can be, yeah.
Okay. So that could get taken back, potentially. Because he wasn't... Was it the hardest kick in the world? I don't know. But he made contact with his nuts.
Yeah.
It doesn't take a lot to make contact with those things, and you're gonna keel over. It's not going to feel good.
Well, part of the reason I was really in this series is just the styles of basketball. Like, Atlanta's small, but they're kind of loaded with wing/guard guys. And so I wanted to see what that was going to look like. Brunson got off to the best start. I mean, he couldn't miss to start the game. Mm-hmm. Knicks are coming out. The Garden's rocking. And every time they'd kind of extend the lead, Atlanta would weather the storm. And then they ended up pulling away there. Third quarter again for them, much like Minnesota, was just atrocious.
Awful, yeah.
Because every other quarter, it's 30-24 in the first. It's 31-27 Atlanta second. And 30-28 in the fourth. So Atlanta doesn't have the most experience on their playoff roster, but they got a couple guys, including CJ. I just think this one's going to get chippy and feisty, and it got off to a bang with the CJ kick.
Especially with that,
groin.
Dude, and him running his mouth after the
Absolutely.
Game on top of it. Like, they're going to take a shot at him.
Well, and you know at any time, like, if Towns goes from dropping 25-8, because he was pretty good in this game.
Yes,
he had a couple
was.
Bad turnover passes to Brunson.
Oh, he's got a clunker in his back
If he
pocket,
has a clunker in the guy,
don't you worry about it.
It's going to get tense, and I think it's going to end up being a great... I think Minnesota, Denver, and Atlanta, New York, I think ultimately I'll prove right that those are the two best first-round series,
yeah.
At least from an entertainment standpoint. Houston-LA might be good from a it-goes-the-distance standpoint. We'll see what Portland-San Antonio is. But almost all the other series, to me, actually maybe Orlando now that they won Game 1. I think Atlanta-New York, it lived up into the billing until about the second half, and then it kind of faded a little bit, and then they pressed back a little bit, but they ultimately couldn't get over that hump.
Yeah, the Laker game was interesting because we find out shortly before tip-off that Kevin Durant's not going to play. That was the last one of the day on Saturday.
Well, that was nice to find out right at tip.
Yeah, because I think I saw a tweet a little bit sooner, but then
I didn't see the tweet.
Yeah, and I saw a video of him shooting around before the game, and I'm like, wait a minute, is he not? Okay, really confused. Kevin Durant didn't play. I don't know if he's going to play in game 2, but we joked about it last week. You brought it up. Houston and L.A. have like a month off in between games in this series. It's really dumb. And so both Luka and KD might be available by the time the series ends.
Yeah, they don't play till Wednesday, game 2.
Kennard was the highlight, and he got the walk-off interview. What an acquisition that was. By the way, how many minutes did Vete Krejci play yesterday?
The
takeaway, though, from the game, and I know this is a tired take and it's a broken record take, I don't really care anymore.
I
still can't wrap my head around LeBron. He had there was a moment in that game.
41 with 19, 8, and 13.
Dude, there was a moment in the game where Houston was kind of cut. There was like 2 minutes to go, 90 seconds to go, and you're like, dude, they're playing with their food a little bit. Here comes Houston. They hit a couple of buckets. You go back down the other end, and it's like LeBron ISO, and I can't remember who was guarding him. Maybe it was Jabari.
I think it was Tari Eason.
Or Tari Eason. So like,
are you talking about the fade?
The fade, and he has this turnaround fadeaway jumper. You're just like, yep.
Just
swish, perfect.
Swish perfectly.
And I just, look, I get that he's a lightning rod for opinions, and we have to yell about him, and he's not the GOAT, he is the GOAT.
Sure.
Like, his performance on Saturday night led a lot of people to make the argument he is the most underrated athlete of all time, which sounds stupid, but
it
also
does sound stupid.
Is not stupid, because all a percentage of people have done is everything he's ever accomplished we've torn down and pretended that it didn't matter because he's not Michael Jordan, he didn't win 6 rings. Dude, he's in his 40s, and he had 19 points, 13 assists, 8 rebounds. He was 9 of 8 from the floor, 1 of 2 from 3, one of the better players on the floor, and I know that Kevin Durant didn't play. The Lakers also didn't have arguably their two best players in Reeves and Luka Doncic.
I don't think it's arguable.
And they still controlled and led the game the entire way and won game 1 at home.
There's no doubt. I'm fine with you giving him his flowers. He gets his flowers when he has these games. Iman Shumpert had a really funny thing talking about this, and he was like, let me put this into context if you guys don't understand this. I played for LeBron's high school summer league camp teams, became LeBron's teammate in the NBA, won a title with LeBron, went on to play X amount of more years.
Yes.
Now I'm retired and I'm doing media, still talking about LeBron as a player.
Luke Kennard was on
his high school teams.
His AAU whatever, LeBron, yeah.
I told my mom was at my house this weekend, and I go, that guy has been in the league since I was a sophomore in high school.
Yes.
I am almost 40.
With the kid who's almost in high school.
It's utterly ridiculous. My takeaway wasn't so much LeBron, because I'm just not like surprised anymore, right?
I haven't watched a lot of Laker games this year. I know he's having a good year, and then you turn it on, you're just like, Jesus, dude, he's still doing it.
He's taken on the third role is the biggest takeaway for me. Is like, that's not easy for those legends to do. Some of those guys just fizzle out of the league quick. He's at least willing to say, yeah, I'm the third banana here, and I'll be the third banana.
Right.
Mine's on the other side. So you have no Kevin Durant. Okay, now you've got all these young athletic wings and Şengün, who is borderline all-NBA for people. Mm-hmm. May make the all-NBA. And you can't beat this Laker team? Like, I think that's my biggest, like, I'm sounding the alarms here. For all the Portland is lacking in shooting, they're lacking in another score for Denny.
Right.
They have stuff they need to do. So does this team.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what to make of Houston. If you're a Rocket fan and you have no Kevin Durant, it's pointless for you.
That's even with Tari Eason, by the way, not missing a shot off the bench.
Dude, like, look at their young team. Look at these guys. These are guys you would want, right? If I told you you could have a Jabari Smith, you'd probably say yeah. If I told you you have an Amen Thompson, you say yeah, right?
Yeah.
You go through the laundry list, and then Şengün is supposed to be this, like, Jokic-like guy. And I'm just watching this game, and I'm like, if I'm a Rocket fan, we're this dependent on Kevin Durant. And without Kevin Durant, we can't do anything against this Laker team?
Yeah.
Who was the Lakers' second best player on Saturday? Probably Luke Kennard, LeBron. And then who was next after that? Was it Ayton?
Maybe Ayton. Yeah. Hachimura had
an okay
game.
Was fine.
Yeah.
Smart didn't do much of anything. He was mic'd up. He didn't do much of anything. Like,
no.
I would be sounding the alarms. My biggest takeaway is Houston has massive problems on their hands. If they don't have Kevin Durant, this is who they are. Yeah. And all of those guys, Smith, who they just locked up, Amen Thompson had a good rookie year. These are all guys. Tari Eason's supposed to be part of their future, right? Şengün. Yeah. These are all guys that's supposed to be like the future. And right now they need 37-year-old Kevin Durant to basically save their offense. I'm incredibly concerned. And we also thought they had one of the best coaches. I think he's had an incredibly underwhelming season as a leader. Maybe stop worrying about calling LeBron a bitch and maybe worry about your rotations.
Get your own team going, yeah. And it's one thing to, like, the Lakers controlled the entire game. I watched a good chunk of that game Saturday night because it was the last one of the bunch, and I was just sitting around. They controlled the entire game.
Yeah, they barely got outscored in the second. They handled
start
things.
To finish, they had the lead, and they held it the entire game, and they finished them off.
Yes.
I think the other fear, and you can almost connect this back locally. We got some more to get to from the NBA playoffs and some more on the Blazers. Of a lot of their guys, or guys that are kind of in the line of player that we've been going after, rangy, athletic, good defensively, switching positions, like a lot of those traits that we know our front offices look for, what have none of those guys done? None of them have developed a reliable, consistent, elite offensive game.
They don't have shooters
and
on
so
that
you
team.
Take, to your point, Kevin Durant's now out of the mix, and Van Vliet's obviously done for the year.
Yeah, which is an underrated, huge injury that
yes,
we didn't probably pay enough attention to.
So you lose your point guard, and your guy that kind of gets the offense going and all that, and a good shooter, and a guy who can score the bucket for it. Like, what's Jabari's offensive game? He wasn't terrible, but he's not blowing
he's not
you away.
Consistently good.
Amen Thompson's a freak, and he's a great athlete, and he's good defensively, all that. He's
can't shoot.
He's not a good shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's one of those things that I'm following away of, like, we have this debate a lot with Kamara. What's he good at ultimate? What's his ceiling as a player? Because we know how good he is on one end of the floor, and the other one is a open-ended question of where can he go from here? And at times it's great. At times it's non-existent. You're like, okay, you're hot and you're cold. You're hot and you're cold. Is there a consistency factor there? And so it's an interesting thought that I have watching Houston this weekend of, will any of those guys develop that offensive game? The answer from game one was no. We'll see what they do in game two. Let's stick in the NBA playoffs. We had a massive upset where I thought I was right. Is Sprague now right? Or am I ultimately going to be right? And then the rest of the takeaways from the opening weekend and some more thoughts on the Blazers dropping game one in San Antonio. That's next on.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
On the Fam. Got any kicker contract extension thoughts? Brandon Aubrey just became the highest paid kicker in the history of the NFL.
If you can boot it from beyond the 50, I'm paying you.
I've, I get it.
So you're telling me on a kickoff, I'm down 1-2. A field goal wins it for me. All I got to gain is like 10 yards and we're in your range. I'm in.
It's one of the reasons the new kickoff rule is so incredibly stupid.
It's really dumb. It's also less safe, by the way. They've concluded studies now and they have found there's been more injuries from the new kickoff that was supposed to be safer.
$20 million guaranteed money. That's a four-year, $28 million record extension for the Cowboys to Brandon Aubrey.
Add to you, when I see a touchdown return, so this happened to my team against the Seahawks.
Yes, right out of the gate.
When you watch your team give up a kickoff, I think this style of kickoff makes me more upset by the kickoff return for a touchdown than the traditional way you
Without a doubt.
It's just like, how did you allow that?
Nobody can move until he catches the ball. They're standing at the 30-yard line.
It just looks like something you'd never be able to take to the house, and yet it happens, and you're like, come on.
Yeah, really frustrating. One last quick note on the NBA weekend. We'll get back into the Blazers coming up here in a few minutes. Got some poll questions, give you updates on all that.
T-shirt conversation today.
Let's yell about T-shirts. This is one where we have random debates on the show from time to time. You never know what's going to spark it. Wide receivers for the Miami Dolphins can do it. Desmond Bane getting traded to the Orlando Magic can do it. Mike Trout and Bryce Harper can do it. One that we yelled about was Desmond Bane getting traded to Orlando for 5 first-round picks. Now, you know me. I'm petty. And I hold on to these things of like, I'm ultimately going
to
be right.
I don't think we need to visit this yet.
Well, sure. But then the Magic are on the brink of not going to the playoffs. And I'm like, this is going to be great if they lose to the Hornets. And they blow out the Hornets. I'm like, whatever. They'll be at 8 seed. They're playing the Pistons. Yeah. The Magic are not going to end their season on a happy note.
Sure.
And then I'm not really paying much attention because the weather's beautiful yesterday. We're out walking about. My niece had a birthday party, so we were, you know, I was not really plugged into what was going on. I get home about an hour before the Blazers game started. I think we walked back into the house about 5:15-ish, right? I'm like, all right.
So this is the fourth quarter or the late third?
Late third quarter. I turn on NBC. And I did a quadruple take at the box score of, wait a minute, what?
Yeah.
From
the get.
Huh?
Yep.
The Orlando Magic, the 8 seed in the Eastern Conference, not only won game one.
They controlled it.
Dominated might be too strong of a word.
No, they gave up their lead, and it was tied, I think, at 65 one point.
Okay, I'll take your word for it because I didn't see the entire thing, but I did watch the end of it like, oh, my God. And this is even with, by the way, collapsed lung. Cade Cunningham went for 39 points. Mm-hmm. He was dominant. They only had one other guy in double figures, and the 8 seed won game one. Is this an upset brewing or an outlier?
One, you can't shoot 31% from three.
Dude, they had nothing offensively from anybody. Their whole offense at the time I watched was just, Cade, please do something. And if he didn't do something, nobody else could score the ball.
So, Asar Thompson, Amen's brother.
Yes.
Quite the player. He's become one of the best defenders in the league.
8 points.
9 minutes in the second half.
This is
the rage debate happening in Detroit. It's not just that you lost. It's like, why did Asar Thompson
play
9 minutes? They don't have shooting. This was my whole thing all year on Detroit. I didn't certainly see this coming. Like Orlando fizzling out and somehow making it and then winning. Okay, I'm kind of surprised by that. This is the one reason I didn't buy Detroit to the full extent other people did, even though they were really damn good and the number one seed in the East. I just looked at their lack of scoring, lack of shooting, and as tough as they are, as fun as Beef Stewart is to be a Detroit basketball player.
Yes, getting into fights with everybody.
Ron Holland, meh. Isaiah Stewart, meh. Asar Thompson, meh. Tobias Harris, okay. Jalen Duren, Jalen Duren's a good player. He's not an elite shooter. Cunningham is a good player. Shooting's not necessarily his go-to, right?
Sure, but he can still find a way to get to 37 because he's great at getting to the hoop.
You can't shoot 30% in a playoff game and expect to win. And not just the shooting splits.
Orlando, by the way, shot 29% from three.
Yeah, so this is the other part I was going to add to it. So I am worried about Detroit's shooting splits. Yeah. You're right to point out Orlando shooting worse from three. They handled them down low.
Yeah.
They out-physicaled them. Paolo Banchero was awesome in this game until the fourth quarter, and then guess who took it over for him? Franz
Wagner!
So, like, Orlando's 1-2 punch came to play. You talk about the play-in games. Desmond Bane has been pretty decently good for them all year. He didn't play his best game in this one. And who set the tone to start the game? Jalen Suggs.
Yeah.
Jalen ended up being 6-16 and 3-10 from three. Jalen Suggs set the tempo for this game. And I thought Detroit said this in the postgame pretty well. They just came out and had no energy. The building wasn't buzzing like you think it would be.
Just weird because you're the one seed. Like, you built
flat
for this.
Yeah. They just didn't look ready. And Orlando came out there, punched him right in the mouth, and then Franz Wagner put him over the top. in the fourth quarter. Really impressive effort by Orlando. Now, is it the outlier? I'm going to lean that yes. I will still take the better team who won 60 games. And we've seen these kinds of teams lose before. Because remember, Orlando's over-under was like 57, 58 preseason.
Yes, they disappointed in the regular season.
Massively underwhelmed. I still think I'm going to take Detroit and say this is kind of the outlier, the way Toronto and Orlando coincidentally were the year Toronto won.
Right.
I don't like Detroit to get to the finals, but I think Detroit will respond in game two.
Interesting storyline from the weekend. Some duds. I mean, there's no need to bring up the OKC Phoenix game.
Just that get was, it over. Make the, it a best of three.
The
what
Boston
Philly game.
Philly game. Yeah. Thank you. I forgot who they even played. Like, there's no point in bringing those ones up. But Magic, Orlando winning game one, spicy. You got the Lakers situation where KD's all of a sudden hurt, and you're like, damn, they might get Luka back. And if they win that series and then Luka's back in the second round, like, is there something there?
Dude, if Houston
Knicks
loses
Hawks
that
are solid.
With no Luka, no Reeves.
That's a disastrous year for Houston.
Woof.
They lost in the first round of the playoffs last year as the 2 seed in the Western Conference to Golden State as this young, similar to Detroit, this young team of like, hey, we're here, but we're a little early.
Right.
Warriors knock them out first round. They say, okay, let's go make a big move. They go get Kevin Durant, and that they gave up a lot to go get him.
They did.
And if you flame out in the first round again, what do you do at that point? So, interesting storylines from the opening weekend of the playoffs. They continue tonight. We'll close out the show with that. Let's get back into the Blazers. How are we feeling after game one against San Antonio? Some updates on some poll questions. We'll get to that.
Are you looking for a money reset? With the new year upon us, the Jill on Money podcast is here to help you take control of your financial life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Next. Well, we waited a long time for it, and it finally happened. The Blazers played a playoff game last night. NBC in San Antonio. Tirico, Reggie Miller on the call.
Good crew.
Good crew, dude.
Nope. I have one negative on the NBC.
Okay, we got a bone to pick. Bone to pick?
Love the nostalgia music.
Yeah.
Love that they love us. Get the lineup. I like that. I thought the play-by-play was exceptional.
Mm-hmm.
I love the environment. The atmosphere was rocking. Can we get a little thing on the score bug, like when somebody scores, give me an update how many points they have?
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, Scoot had like his fifth shot made, and okay. I couldn't remember how many points he had.
You feel like he's having a good game, yeah.
Waiting for the S. Henderson with the line, and I'm like, you're not doing this. Hmm. What are we doing?
Yeah, that's kind of an underrated part of the score bug when it pops up. Then you got to open up your ESPN app because you can't; it won't show you right there.
I just thought the biggest takeaway, and let's get to the Blazers, but my big takeaway is round one is highlighting the worst part of the media deal, and that is not allowing local people to do the broadcast.
And having games on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
That just, I want to watch these. If you're a hockey fan and a basketball fan, this is a really good time of year because the playoffs start on the same day.
Yep.
It's exciting. There's games on all day, every day seemingly, and it'll continue for weeks and weeks and weeks to come until you start whittling down. And there's only a couple series left, and you want to be able to quad box it and have multiple things going on at the same time. I was also curious to watch golf, and now I need multiple screens in order to do this. Come on, NBA. Don't put it on Amazon Prime. That pissed me off. That being said, the Blazers play game one, and I think if you would have told everybody on Friday, we're wrapping up the show. Hey, by the way, they're about to announce no t-shirts. Have fun with that over the weekend. And the Blazers are going to be competitive. They're not going to shoot the ball great. They're going to be, you know, in the game at periods and then let it get a little lopsided and then cut the deficit and ultimately end up losing by 13. I think we all would have said, yeah, that's how I see game one going. The beauty of playoff series now is you get the, what's the response? Is it more Robert Williams? Is it Shaden getting more minutes? Is it, you know, changing, you know, lineups or matchups or whatever they can, like, that's the beauty of a playoff series. That's a little bit different is now you have something to go off of and can we adjust and can we change? Did your opinion change at all about the series based on what you thought going in after what you saw game one?
My only, God, this is going to sound weird because they lost by 13 and they were down by, I think, 19, if not 20 at one point.
There was a moment
right?
where you're like, uh-oh, and then they cut back into it in the fourth quarter.
They don't go away completely. My only thing that I thought about in terms of reconsidering is if you have the Blazers over 5.5 games and this going to 6, I'm far more open-minded to it. And I don't mean to be like super positive Patty here because I watched the game. Like I understand Tamani wasn't very good offensively. Drew struggled. Jeremy was atrocious.
You got to keep your numbers on the big board, man. You're number two.
Shaden.
You got to earn your keep here.
Shaden not very good in the second half of this thing.
Yeah.
And Donovan was a no-show.
Yes.
And all that being said, they hung around, fought their way from 16 down to 2.
Mm-hmm.
If you could just cut down the time on the turnovers and you don't have 3 straight possessions of turnover and hit a 3 or maybe tie the game.
Like, right.
I just think they're going to be a little more open to blowing these leads, and you're going to have that, you know, that op, that it's going to be open to you to come back in these games. The way that they play, their style, you can't shoot 26%. Not that that's breaking news by any stretch, but keep being physical. Don't back down. Scoot was asked about Wemby on and off the court, and I thought he had a great answer. I thought at the end of that game, I thought Wemby took a shot, and NBC, I don't think, highlighted it very well because you could see him grimacing.
Was this the one where he fell to the ground, or
this
was there a different
before.
One?
He got a foul. Remember, he was kind of going back and forth on the pivot foot in the paint. He turned. He shot it. He got the foul.
Oh, and the and one call. Yeah.
And he kept breathing and grimacing a little bit. And then after that, he took the he fell to the ground.
Out of control drive, and he just
kind of holds the ribs a little bit. Those are sensitive, man. And so those are tender. So be physical with them. If Devin Vassell is going to beat you, De'Aaron Fox can certainly do it. I'm letting Steph Castle shoot as many open shots as he wants to shoot. And you just hold down and hope that other guys show up. You can do that. This series is going to continue to be an interesting, entertaining one. Hmm. But they showed you last night why they are 20 games better than you.
Brandon, number two?
I just thought, from my takeaway, was we haven't seen Wemby against this team at all this season.
No.
And there's no amount of tape that you can study to game plan against him until you actually play him. So I think just this first game is, you know, a usual feel it out, kind of understand what's his strengths, what's his weaknesses. And I agree with what Denny said, what you said, Brandon, that they need to be a little more physical with him. I would love Klingon to be a little more physical with him just because he's the big man and he can match that height and that strength with him. But I think they'll benefit from this loss, as in they'll see how he goes against their defense, and then they can play adjustments and see how they can react to it. Because, you know, like I said, you can't really game plan for him until you actually play him. And for us to lose by 13, be as close as 2 points, I still find it as a positive takeaway, moral victory, I guess you could call it, to go into game two with.
I think it's, I mean, when you look at game one, two, and you're the seventh seed, like, you're playing with house money. You're not supposed to win game one on the road. Maybe you can steal game two. If you steal game one, it's like, all right, that couldn't have gone any better. But I think moral victory is okay game one when you're the seventh seed taking on the two seed. And I also think it's a good point because in a lot of cases, it's just, you know, you're really good at, like, there's nothing that you can do to duplicate some guy's skill set, but there's something so unique about Wemby that not seeing him on the floor, that's got to be jarring. Like, the first time you drive for a layup and you haven't played against this guy, it's one thing if you've seen him a bunch and you're trying to get a layup off. Like, you can practice that and, like, let's go super high off the backboard. It's another thing when a guy with a 19-foot wingspan or whatever psychotic number it is jumping at you trying to block the shot.
Yeah.
And maybe, okay, now we get a better understanding of how to deal with it. Like, I don't know if my opinion has changed because I went in thinking five-game series. I went in thinking that they would lose game one and San Antonio would pull away. Now, to Portland's credit, they never let it get totally out of hand. They hung tough, and then there was even a moment they could have covered the spread. If you shoot the ball in your last possession, you might be able to cover the spread. As Spurs better, I was glad that they didn't. But they had an opportunity to cover the number in that moment.
Blake Wesley, shoot the three, dude. You're never going to score. You could have paid off my bet. Like, what are we doing?
I think the hard part that I had coming in was, you know, and I was at a birthday party yesterday. We were talking about my family's all, you know, my brother's into it, and I think they could, you know, make some noise here and go on a run. And I simply asked him, have you ever watched Victor Wembanyama play basketball? And his answer was no. And I said, well, first off, I appreciate the optimism. Have fun watching Victor Wembanyama play basketball. And it was one of the fears that I had coming in of, like, I think they're going to be feisty. I don't think they're going to get blown out in a lot of these games. And I certainly don't believe that Wemby will go 5 or 6 from three every game. There's just something about him that's, if he's on, there's literally nothing that you can do.
There's nothing
you can
do.
There's no matchups. There's no double teams. There's nothing that you can do to stop
him. This series, to me, isn't necessarily about him. I know the national narrative and all of us were focused on him. He's a freak. It's crazy to watch a guy dribble behind his back and then spin past your 6'8 guy and dunk from just barely inside. All of that is nuts. Hitting the fadeaway three in the corner. I mean, going 5 or 6 from behind the line. It's insane. It's about the other stuff. Like, Denny gave you 30, only shot 6 free throws.
It's a huge, huge marker for him.
He got hurt late in that game, too.
Yes, he did. Where's his LFAB?
And so I'm worried a little bit about that, but I'm going to assume he's going to suit up for game two and be totally fine, okay? Who's going to give him support? And it's the other people, right? Like, Wemby, I assume Wemby's going to average probably something nuts like 31-8-6 in this game with 3 blocks. Let's just say that's what the average for the series is. What is Vassell average? What is Fox average? What is their bench production? Because Luke Kornet was stellar for them off the bench.
He was phenomenal.
Steph Castle and what he gives them defensively and how disruptive he can be. Like, my thing with the Spurs watching them is how together they play. And it's not that we don't. We certainly have those moments. It's from start to finish, it's an entire together team. Whereas at times it feels like it's Denny in the group.
Go do something, and if you're not, then what the hell are we going to do?
It just has that vibe. Yeah. And so I still think they can get much better play, especially from their vets. But Tamani needs to be more aggressive. Donovan has to show up here. We need Jeremy Grant to not be the worst player in the rotation. Those things happen. Wemby can be all out of this world. You'll have a shot. And that's what they've been for most of this season. They fight. And so, you know, the score, the result, not shocking. It's they didn't play very well, and they hung around for a large portion of this game.
And it was not a bloodbath, right?
And it was not a bloodbath.
Yeah, if you tell, hey, you're going to shoot sub 30% from three, uh-oh, you're going to get blown out. And there were moments that trended in that direction, but they didn't let it fully get there, and they continued to fight. That's been their calling card all year.
If I told you Tamani and Jeremy and Donovan gave you 17 points total.
Yeah, and Drew was going to be, was he one of seven from three or one of eight
from three?
Couldn't make a shot.
You'd be like, well, we lost that game by 25 or 30. And 13 is still, you know, they ended up running away with it. But
yes,
like, you're right there in the second half. You're three possessions in a row away from not turning the ball over. Of like, okay, now things are uncomfortable.
Damn near took the lead at one moment in the third quarter. Your thoughts, welcome. 503-864-6326. We'll wrap up the show, get you set for the night in sports, read some final thoughts, and answer the poll questions as we close up the show on a Monday, and we'll do it next on 105.1 FM, The Fam. All right, we'll get you set for the night in sports. Ready for the Neighborhood Restaurant Group fan poll question of the day?
Absolutely.
Brought to you as always by your Neighborhood Restaurant Group. Every day they bring the poll question and dinner tonight at one of their five locations, Sandy O's, Big's Chicken, Reverend's Barbecue, 808 Hawaiian, and Laurelhurst Market Steakhouse. The question of the day: how concerned are you about all the reported cost-cutting moves by new owner Tom Dundon? Very concerned, mildly concerned, kind of concerned, calm down, wait and see. Number one answer on the poll question at this point, 41.6% of you say very concerned.
Very concerned.
Number two answer, 28.6%, mildly concerned.
Uh-oh, where's kind of?
We'll get to it. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. 18.2% of you say just calm down, Karen, wait and see. And then 11.7% of you kind of concerned.
I mean, if we have towels on Friday, I just, I don't know what we're doing here. Look, it's certainly fair to say it's not great to be talked about. And when you're talked about, it's because you've got the cheapest owner in the sport. As we've noted throughout the show, and many listeners have chimed in, totally understand it. I think there's some areas that I don't like him being talked about being cheap.
Yeah, without a doubt.
But it's really hard. You really want to be the person that comes and tells us definitely that this guy is going to railroad any progress on the team. What happens then if they make a trade for a star player with a big contract?
Right.
You're going to have to walk all that back. Right. So
let's just give it a take.
When that stuff happens,
wait and see.
We'll address it and we'll say, look, we already know the flags were there.
A lot of smoke. We grant you that.
A lot of smoke.
Like, grant you that.
It's like one of those controlled burns that I see out by where I live. I'm always like, oh my God, there's a fire.
It's a big fire.
And then I keep driving and I'm like, that's a farm.
Yeah.
That's a control burn.
There's burning it down. It smells delightful too, doesn't it? Whenever you drive by those.
Right now, there's a lot of control burn going on at the Moda Center.
Yeah, that is true. Has new Blazer owner Tom Dundon being cheap stolen the spotlight from the Blazers being back in the playoffs? 67% of you say yes, he has. Mm. And last one, if you can win state championship at Park Rose, can you coach the Portland Trailblazers? And 57% of you say yes.
I mean, dude.
That's the correct answer.
Park Rose.
That, ladies and gentlemen.
I can't believe they won 5A state title.
Is the correct answer. I will give you a quick little rundown. By the way, Stanley Cup playoffs continue tonight. You had the Flyers go into Pittsburgh and steal game one. So game two, Sidney Crosby doesn't want to fall down 0-2 in his own building. Cheapo Tom Dundon's Carolina Hurricanes, best team in the Eastern Conference. They play game two tonight at home against the Senators. They won game one 2-0. Seth Jarvis, former Winterhawk, outstanding in that game. And how about the Minnesota Wild kicking the crap out of the Dallas Stars in game one?
You called that, by the way.
I know. The Penguins killed my parlay. It should have cashed. Yeah. Wild Stars game two, and then we get McJesus. For some reason, the schedules are off. Oilers and Ducks did not start until tonight, so game one of that series. Full slate all the way.
Yeah.
NBA playoffs, what are we looking forward to tonight as they continue three games. You got Raptors, Cavs, Hawks, Knicks, T-Wolves, Nugs.
I'm looking to game two of Hawks, Knicks. I mean, the Raptors, Cavs just isn't doing much. I have a Cavs ticket, so I'm interested.
Yes.
But it's not, like, super exciting to get up for.
T-Wolves and Nuggets, by the way, probably not going to tip until 8 p.m. Just FYI. It's a scheduled 7:30 start.
That's
time.
Awesome. I can't wait to come in tomorrow and be like, did you fall asleep before the third quarter ended? Yep, I did. That fourth quarter, though, I heard it was great.
I heard it was awesome.
I heard it was so
that
awesome.
Jokic guy, man, it's fun to watch.
I mean, two of the three games are going to be good, yes. I think. I don't know about Raptors-Cavs. Could very well go the same way. Raptors come out early.
Can I give
Cavs
you?
Cavs respond. They end up pulling away.
I'm going to do it right now.
Yeah, do it.
I'm going to do it right now.
You doing a parlay?
You ready for this?
Give it to me.
I'm barking.
Are we barking on all three or two?
Raptors plus 9.5.
A lot of points.
I know it's a lot of points.
I know.
Hawks, I'm getting 6.5. CJ's kicking people in the nuts.
Hawks are tying the series tonight.
I like it.
Hold it against me
I
tomorrow.
I like it. And T-Wolves getting 7.5? I'm barking. Dog Johnson's out tonight.
What happens if you do Raptors cover? Moneyline Hawks Wolves on the parlay.
Oh, you think they're... Oh,
I'm just saying, like, that's... Ooh. You want to talk about barking.
All right, let's see.
We're howling.
Nope, not Moneyline. Plus about 1,800. $5 bet wins you 96.
I'm jumping.
I'm going covers. Give me covers. I don't need wins.
Okay. Rock and Samuel and the other guys. Land in that bush. Yep.
We got it. That'll do it for us, folks. If you missed the show, go check the podcast, 1051thefan.com, at 1051thefan on Twitter, at Dirt and Spring on Twitter. Go vote on the poll questions. Thank you so much for being a part of our Monday. Enjoy another beautiful day. And we'll be back tomorrow to get you set for game two of Blazers and Spurs. Talk to you at 6 a.m. The firm, Harrison Meringue, is next. Listen to 1051 FM, The Fan.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.